All this week, we've been listening to the way that air travel has changed in recent years.
At this time, I'd like to welcome our pre-boarders with blue or yellow authorization sleeves for 2267 Orlando. Welcome to Southwest Airlines.
We've spent much of the week at Philadelphia's airport, and right now we're visiting Terminal D. A Southwest flight is preparing to leave from gate number 2. The waiting passengers are mostly families with children. Two young girls and a boy sit on the floor with coloring books.
We're going to visit the parks. Magic Kingdom and Epcot. We actually are going for 3 weeks.
A Morning Edition producer approached Carrie Haas near the gate, where she sat with her 4-year-old daughter on her lap. The Haas family chose this flight to Orlando because of something that has transformed air travel at airports across the country.
The reason for Southwest was the ticket prices. Because we could look ahead, we knew we wanted to come in August, and that's probably when we get the best prices, when you plan a little bit ahead.
Low-cost airlines are relatively new to Philadelphia International Airport. The airport was dominated for years by an older airline, U.S. Airways, and then Southwest arrived.
In 2003, our total passengers were about 24.5 million. The following year, they jumped up to 28.5 million, and that was with Southwest only being here for half of the year.
Charlie Isdell is director of aviation for the city of Philadelphia. We found him in a terminal used by Southwest.
Particularly in the summer months, when you walk through here, you will see sometimes during the busy hours, you'll see people just, you know, shoulder to shoulder in both directions, coming and going. It's a great commercial benefit to the region. About 34,000 people work here, and passengers' airfare savings at our airport since Southwest came in have averaged about $600 million a year in fare savings.
When the airport's more crowded, when you have more takeoffs and landings, does that mean that when there's a problem, there's less margin for error?
Yes. This time of year, thunderstorms can create delays on the runways that will rapidly result in passengers essentially stuck here in the building. Similar events occur in the winter months when we have snow and ice storms. Earlier in the year, we had lots of people stuck here. We fed, I think, about 300 people with sandwiches around midnight. Basically just tried to do everything we could to make them comfortable while U.S. Airways tried to eventually get them out of here. But some of that took, I think, as much as 48 to 72 hours.
You keep track of on-time percentage for the airport as a whole?
We have hovered over the last few years from being the worst out of the 31 major airports in the country to more recently we've been around 27th, I think, in terms of most delayed. Neither one of those numbers is something we're real excited about. The main reason we moved up in the last year had more to do with a reduction in total takeoffs and landings by U.S. Airways than anything else.
You moved up from being the worst to merely being in the bottom 4 or 5 because there were fewer flights.
Yeah, we're actually building a runway extension right now that will be done next year, and we are working with the FAA on some longer-term runway construction projects, but they require a great deal of environmental review and public input before you can implement them. So we probably won't know until next year where and when we'll be able to build another runway for our airport. That's really the long-term solution.
You know, there's always that problem with highways. You build new highways to ease traffic congestion, and then people use them more, and the congestion sometimes gets worse. Does the same thing happen when you try to use construction to keep up with airport congestion?
It certainly seems to. When you're in design and the planning stages, the planners and architects and engineers will tell you that they're building additional capacity into the project for the future. And if you use what happened here within the last few years, when we opened our international terminal, for example, that terminal, which looked so brilliant and spacious in 2003, is now probably going to need an extension with some more gates on it.
You know, when you step out of your job as director of aviation for the city of Philadelphia and go on vacation someplace, do you like to fly out of the Philadelphia airport?
For me, yes. I think if you understand what's going on, it helps you to plan your trip better. Like, for instance, trying to book early in the day if possible because you your percentage-wise, you'll experience fewer delays. Things like being able to look out the window of the plane and understand when we come in early, which happens a lot here, but a plane can't get a gate because the plane that was supposed to leave an hour ago is stuck there, perhaps because there's a weather front between here and Atlanta. Those are the kind of things that go through my mind. And I also like to look out the window and get a close-up look at our manicuring and maintenance of the airfield, which may just be an obsession of an airport director that most people wouldn't care about. But we do a great job keeping the runways and the airfield up to snuff, so the FAA inspectors that come generally give us kudos for that.
Well, Charlie Isdell, I'll be sure to book a 7 a.m. flight and bring a book.
And if you want to save some money, you'll get a connecting flight, but that will also increase the possibility of you being delayed at the intermediary airport that you go through. So you kind of get what you pay for. If you're willing to pay the freight, you have a better chance of getting to your destination on time, I think.
Thanks for taking your time.
My pleasure.
Charlie Isdell is Director of Aviation for the City of Philadelphia. Okay, now before we leave Philadelphia International Airport and our stories about how air travel has changed, let's return to one of the families we met this week. NPR found Chuck and Janice Eldridge in the Economy parking lot in Philadelphia and followed them through the airport.
We are at the Southwest Terminal, and we are getting on a flight to West Palm Beach.
We can now report that their flight left that day on time and arrived early. As for their return flight,
it was also early. Unlike what most people say, how bad traveling is, it really was not a bad trip.
But the trip did not end there.
When we got back in the public parking, it was crowded enough on those, there was enough people using it, that literally four buses went by full before we were picked up, and they come every 15, 20 minutes, so it might have been closer to an hour. It did take a little bit longer than we thought.
That's Chuck Eldridge, one of many voices we've heard in our series on air travel this summer.
And you can listen to our previous stories at npr.org.